The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 57. The seemingly endless traipsing over sand dunes had lulled us into a state of semi-consciousness, I guess. That has to be the explanation. Otherwise, they must have materialized out of nothing, out of thin air, and that simply isn't possible. Sure, they were dressed in sand-colored clothing, and that made them harder to spot, but there were so many of them. It's pretty hard to miss a crowd that size during the high heat of the day in a geography that is completely without cover. And yet, that is what happened. Somehow, a heavily armed mob of desert dwellers managed to sneak up and surround us without any sort of warning whatsoever. Talk about surprised. I first became aware of their presence when one of them poked me in the nose with some sort of ancient firearm, an arquebus or blunderbuss or some such thing. I know nothing of these types of weaponry. This nasal jab got my attention, and I looked up and noticed five or six of the fellows surrounding each of my companions, including the relatively imperturbable Mr. Freddy Bananas III, who, I must say, looked a bit perturbed. This was, I thought, a rather alarming development. They made us get down off our camels, and some of them surrounded us in a group, intimidating us by making menacing looks with their faces. They were pretty good at it. I imagine they must have practiced. Another group busied themselves by stripping our camels of their baggage, actually our baggage, and rummaging through it, none too carefully. By that I mean they tossed everything that did not interest them, and by that I mean pretty much everything, off into the sand. It was unclear what they were looking for, but they were obviously looking for something, because when they finished rifling our belongings, one of them, some sort of leader, came up to Hobie and said, in fairly passable English, "Where is it?" Hobie, quite reasonably, it seemed to me, inquired as to what it was that was meant by the single word "it." His inquisitor did not think this was a reasonable question at all. In fact, he seemed quite upset by it. I surmised this when he struck Hobie in the stomach, hard enough to make him, that is, Hobie, bend over right at the waist and utter the single word "oof." As Hobie collected himself, the inquisitor stepped up to Roger and asked him the very same question. Now, Roger is no dummy. He was smart enough to know that repeating Hobie's question would not be at all wise, given the response it got last time. Sadly, however, Roger was not smart enough to come up with a response that satisfied the Inquisitor. He tried, though. He shrugged his shoulders and said, "I dunno." Although his statement was quite different from Hobie's question, it had exactly the same result. As Roger was getting himself up off his knees, the Inquisitor stepped before me. I didn't like the way this was going one bit.